Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen generation, in verse 9, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Has anybody ever called you peculiar? The Bible says they're right. We are a peculiar people. That word peculiar there is referring to someone who is unique because of their selection. Now, this whole notion got me to thinking earlier this week. We are in fact a peculiar people. I was thinking in terms of biology. We are in fact a peculiar people. We are a new creation. Right? Everything about us is made new. We are a new creature. We are a peculiar people. There is something, looking at it from biological terms for application's sake, about an organism and the viability of the organism. And a viability in an organism means that that organism is capable of living, of developing, and of reproduction. We were talking earlier this week about the concept of species. That a species is living, it's developing, and it's capable of reproducing after its own kind. The golden rule of biology is that like begets like. Everything reproduces after its own kind. Interesting how biology, at least this one phase of it, agrees with the Bible. Everything reproduces after its own kind, and that is the golden rule of biology. A snail produces a snail, not a chimpanzee. Can you see a snail producing a chimpanzee? Maybe you'd have a new species. But that is the definition of species, and we wonder sometimes why is a certain thing not a species and a certain thing it is. And for example, if you have a horse is a species, an oyster is a species because it is capable of living, of developing and reproducing after its own kind. But a mule is not a species. A mule is a hybrid. A mule is a horse and a donkey. A horse is a species. A donkey is a species. A horse can live, develop, and reproduce after its own kind. A donkey can live, develop, and reproduce after its own kind. A mule cannot. A mule can live and develop. It is not capable of reproducing another mule. It is a different species. It's not a viable organism. We believers need to learn how to be viable Christians. We need to learn how to live, develop, and reproduce after our own kind. Or there is no viability in the organism. Today, there are a lot of hybrid believers. Today there are a lot of believers who are capable of living and developing, but they do not reproduce after their own kind. Or maybe they are simply living, but they are not developing and reproducing after their own kind. As a believer, I need to live, develop, and reproduce as my own kind. There's a way that I go about this. When a believer is a hybrid believer, they live in the Romans chapter 7 experience. In other words, just like Paul, they do what they don't want to do. They don't do what they do want to do. They consent that the law is good, but they're not able to produce it. And there is this war going on inside, this struggle. And they say, I'm doing the best that I can. I'm becoming like Christ. I'm doing the best that I can. Have you ever heard believers say, I'm doing the best that I can to be a good Christian? You know what? You don't need to do the best that you can to be a good Christian. You just need not to be a hybrid Christian. You need to be a viable believer, one that lives, develops, and reproduces after his own kind. But if I am struggling to develop, I've never seen a frog struggling to be a frog. And I want to be a better frog. But yet somehow we believers, we have this thing where we don't get even what a frog gets. That I am either a believer or I am not a believer. But I don't have to struggle. I just need not to be a hybrid. Where does my living come from? Well, it comes from what I do with the Word of God. In Ephesians 4:22, the Word of God says, put off the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt after the deceitful lusts. So I put off the old life. First, I have to realize that there is an old man to be put off, and that the old man is not something that I am supposed to live in. Many believers, hybrid believers, will live in the new man and the old man. They will accept Christ. They will even tell you they love God. They will tell you that you need Christ to go to heaven when you die. But they live like the world. They think like the world. They act like the world. They have a hybrid life. They are both believers and the world. The result of that is double-mindedness. But as a believer, I put off the old man. I don't try to live in both the old man and the new man. I take off the old man like he was a coat. I throw him aside. I don't pick him up again. I don't live a hybrid life. And in Ephesians 4:24, two verses later, put on the new man. So take off the old man like a coat, put on the new man like a new coat, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And now I have God's life. Because I don't have the life of the old man, I have the life of the new man. In Colossians 3:10, we have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. So how do I put off the old man? How do I put on the new man? And how do I sustain that? Well, it says right here, renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. I am renewed by doctrine, by the Word of God, and the Word of God then produces the image of the Savior in me. It's not what I try to produce. It's what I consume. You ever hear, you are what you eat? If you eat the Word of God, you're eating Christ. You are Christ. You are what you eat. If you're eating the world, if you're eating the television, if you're eating whatever, you are that. Consume the Word of God, and you will become the new man. The new man will continuously be renewed in you, and you will be like Christ. You will have that image. It's about the Word. My life is in the Word. Now, in John chapter 3, verse 6, the Word of God says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The hybrid man has two lives. The hybrid man has the flesh life, and the hybrid man has the spirit life. And the two often come into some conflict. And the happy hybrid man, happy little hybrid, manages on occasion to find some balance where the flesh is not offending the spirit and the spirit is not offending the flesh. And when they find that balance, they call themselves blessed. And they say, okay, now I've achieved. The spirit is not offending my flesh and my flesh is not offending the spirit. In other words, I can sin a little, and I can still be okay with God. I can still have my thing with God. I don't have to have precision of thought, sinning a little. I don't have to have precision of thought, just so long as I know that Jesus is the answer. Hybrid man. Hybrid man. The mind of Christ is a precise mind. And Christ told us in Philippians, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. And if I don't have the Christ in me, if I have two minds, if I don't have only the mind of Christ in me, but I have the mind of the Spirit and the mind of the flesh, then I am double-minded. I have two minds. And the Word of God says that that man is unstable in all his ways. Why? Because on the one hand, he wants what he wants when he wants it, according to his flesh. On the other hand, he wants the things of God. And he is unstable in all his ways. There is a conflict in his heart. I want this, but I want God. But I want this, but I want God. And there is a conflict in his heart. A hybrid believer with a hybrid mind. Unstable in all his ways. Never quite able to experience the power of godliness, although he possesses its likeness. Hybrid mind. A hybrid mind produces a hybrid life. But a hybrid life is incapable of reproduction. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creature. He's not a hybrid, he's a new creature. But we believers will take that part, which is the Spirit, and we want the part, which is the flesh also. God didn't say, if any man be in Christ, he is the Adamic nature. If any man be in Christ, he is the new creature. That means in my practical experience on a daily basis, if there is a conflict between flesh and new creature, because the Word of God has not been masticated and mixed faith with sufficiently to the point where God's nature replaces, not eliminates, but replaces my old sin nature. In other words, the old sin nature gets pushed to the side and the new nature is manifested, then I'm not operating in what it means to be in Christ. I'm operating in a hybrid life. But I am not a viable Christian. In Galatians 6:15, in Christ, circumcision avails nothing. Uncircumcision avails nothing. You see, the hybrid believer will try to have a life with Christ through circumcision or uncircumcision. In other words, the hybrid believer will try to have a life with Christ based on an outward manifestation. Acts of the flesh, acts of the will. He says, I'm doing these things, I'm okay. And it's nothing about it, it doesn't avail anything. What avails something is the new creature. That's what avails something. In other words, the new creature is what produces something in me. The new creature is what has something going on with God. Not the hybrid. The hybrid is simply unstable in all his ways. But the new creature has something that means something with God. You see, in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew or Greek. Neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. All are one in Christ. That means one in Christ. That means virtually, in an application, they are one species. It's not that you're a Jew or that you're a Gentile. It's not that you're a man, that you're a woman. It's not that you're free or that you're a slave. It's not that you're the pastor or the janitor. It's none of those things. You are one species, one in Christ. You are viable Christians. The pastor who is unwilling to be a servant is less than the servant who is not the pastor. I can wash dishes with the right heart or preach with the wrong heart. And washing dishes becomes a very eternal event where preaching with the wrong heart becomes an act of the flesh. And it means nothing. It's not about my production. It's about the heart. Do I have a viable heart? Am I a viable believer? This is the thing. Do I have one mind or two? Do I have one life or two lives? The way that I get to viability in Ephesians 4:13 is speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That means that I need the Word of God, yes, we've already established that. But I also need the preaching of the Word of God. Preaching is what perfects me as a believer. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word, and how will they hear if there is no preacher? Preaching is what perfects me as a believer. Viability will not come apart from the right pastor teacher preaching and teaching for me the Word of God. And when I receive that, something starts to grow in me. When I mix faith with it, it starts to increase me. And when it increases me, I start to become a viable Christian. I start to become a Christian who has one life, not two. Who has a single eye, not a divided eye. Who has a single mind, not a divided mind. A single life. And when I have a single life, the life of God in me is the life that I live. And that is the viable life for the viable Christian. That is the believer who's capable of becoming the Revelation 2 and 3 overcomer. Because they have one life. The Laodiceans had the problem. They had two lives. But the believer who is viable has just one life, and that is the life of God. He doesn't try to mix the flesh with the life of God. He doesn't try to mix natural understanding with the mind of Christ. He doesn't try to mix sight with faith. He simply trusts God in all things, and that is a life that God says is pleasing to Him. An unviable Christian will never operate in pure faith. An unviable Christian will look for sight and then say, I trust. A viable Christian can come into a difficult circumstance, and in that circumstance, he has peace that passes understanding, because his eyes are on the Savior, on the brazen serpent, and the difficulty of the circumstance is not death to him, it's life to him. Why? He has a viable life. For him to live is Christ. And so he enters into circumstances and he sees the circumstance as an opportunity, not as something that's destructive. Because in fact, that's exactly what it is. The trial of your faith is more precious than gold. And so it's an opportunity. That's the viable life. An unviable life sees the circumstance, and although in a viable life the circumstance may be challenging, that believer overcomes it. In the unviable life, that believer is completely blown away by the circumstance. They start to fail, they start to react, they start to get negative. Why? Two lives. Self-life trying to mix with God's life. You can't mix life and death. That's a hybrid. A hybrid believer will never fully experience the victory of the cross. But the viable believer lives in the victory in every detail of his life. I need to be a viable Christian. In Galatians 5, this is what I develop into. As I start to live a viable life, I start developing as a believer. What is developed in a viable believer? In verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. Because the life that is developing in him is the life of the Spirit. Whatsoever is spirit is spirit. Whatsoever is flesh is flesh. So the life of the viable believer is the Spirit life. And then it starts to develop the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace. The Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, singular. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, the manifestations of that love in that believer's life, the way it comes out is as joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. When I do not try to live a hybrid life, I do not try to live by the law. You see, the hybrid life is a life that is split between grace and the law. The viable life is the life where it's all grace. This is why the fruit of the Spirit, against such there is no law. In other words, there is no law that reflects the fruit of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56, the strength of sin is in the law. So if I'm trying to develop myself as a believer with law, I'm actually trying to develop the strength of sin in me. But if the fruit of the Spirit is being developed in me through the Word of God, the Word of God's pretty amazing. It's supernatural. It became alive. Yet people sometimes don't trust the Word of God alone to develop a life, as though it didn't have that capacity. And that's why they try to introduce elements of law. Because the Word of God, they think, won't do the trick. The Word of God is what Christ was. Doesn't it say in John chapter 1, the Word became flesh? There's something supernatural about this book. The Word became flesh. It has power. It has life. It has an ability. It's not just words and ideas on a paper. It is living. The Word of God is what produces the fruit of the Spirit in me. And so I have life, and now I have fruit. And then when I have fruit, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. In Galatians 5:5. Why? Because the fruit is there to shed abroad. It's not just shed abroad to me, although that is true. It's shed abroad through me. And so I become a passageway for the Word of God to go through. Can you imagine that? Being the manifestation, the passage for God to operate. That means you're constantly seeing Him. You're constantly in His presence as He is flowing through you. He's constantly manifesting Himself in your life. Why? Viable believer, viable Christian. Not two lives, one life. The life of the Savior. Not two desires, one desire. The desire of the Savior. Not two ambitions, one ambition. The life of the Savior. That's the viability. When I am a viable believer, I have life, I have development, and I have reproduction. But something happens to the viable believer as the fruit of the Spirit is growing in him, as the fruit of the Spirit is producing the life of God's manifestation in him and through him, something else happens. The cross is produced in him. And when the cross is produced in the believer, in John chapter 12 and verse 24, that believer starts to reproduce. The Word of God says there, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, there's your cross, it abides alone. No reproduction. It's just by itself. Unviable. There is no viability there. There is no Christian species there. There is a hybrid. A Christian mule. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. So the viable believer lives in the life of the cross, and the life of the cross reproduces Christ's life. How many believers have Christ's life being reproduced? This is what I love about ministries like ours. You win the lost, you disciple, you cause people to grow, they win the lost, they disciple, all of a sudden they've reproduced. They win the lost, they disciple, all of a sudden they've reproduced. All after their own kind. I love watching some of you, the way that you invest in certain people. You've been discipled, and now you're reproducing that life in another person's heart. And you're not thinking anything about it. You're just loving them. That's right. Fruit of the Spirit. The love of God being shed abroad in the heart. The cross of God being manifested in your life leads to reproduction. And all of a sudden, other people are drawn to the Savior. Other people become discipled because of your life. A little bit of time where they've had the opportunity to grow, they've been discipled, and now they start discipling other people. They start investing. They start loving them up. They start drawing them in. Another believer is discipled. And they start loving people up. And they start lifting up Christ. And all of a sudden, you have a living organism where every joint supplies, called the body of Christ, and it's a viable organism that knows how to live, how to develop, and how to reproduce. Why? Life of God. Not two lives, one life. One life of God. There aren't two gods, there aren't two Jesuses. One life, one God, one body, one mind. Unity in the species. A peculiar people, set apart unto God. Well, Christ is lifted up, drawing all men unto Him. This is how the kingdom of God is established. Viable Christianity. With one mind, one thought, one heart, through the Word of God. Amen.